You are listening to a sermon by Barbara Nickel, recorded on Sunday, September 19th, 2021, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful beginning to the service. I'm so happy to be here. As you've heard, I've titled my talk, Sacred Words, Sacred Word. So I'll begin with part one of my talk. I've put it into two parts, and I'm going to start with the part called Sacred Words. So today I'm continuing the talk about the transformative power of words, a theme that Evan began last week with discussion of passages from James and Isaiah. So as a writer, I've spent many days and months and years alone with words on a page. Right next to my desk is a dictionary stand made for me by my dad, actually. And many times in the course of a writing day, I'll make a trip over there to the dictionary stand to look up a word and discover its origins and multiple meanings. I feel each word deserves this kind of time and respect. I've come to learn that words are kind of like people, with their own complex histories, with roots, and the capacity to grow and change over time. In my poetry practice, I'll often begin with the spiritual practice of reading the lectionary scriptures. Sometimes I'm completely baffled and have more questions than anything. I often copy words and phrases that interest me and give me pleasure into my journal. I guess that's one way of listening. So I invite you to turn in, if you have your voices together, to number 405, listen to the word that God has spoken. Thanks so much to Evan, Ruth Enns, Lois Funk, Greta Bartsch, and Doug Medley for making a new recording of this song, as well as another song we'll be singing later. We'll sing it once through in unison and then break into parts for a round. I love it that you guys all have hymnals. It's just so wonderful. But if you're a guest and you can't access a hymnal, or you can't access the words, I believe there's a link in the chat where you can access the hymns that we'll be singing.
Listen to the word that God has spoken. Listen to the one who is close at hand. Listen to the voice that began creation. Listen even if you don't understand.
Listen to the word that God has spoken.
Listen to the word that God has spoken.
Listen to the voice that began
creation.
Listen to the voice that began
creation. Listen to this if you don't understand. Listen to the word that God has spoken.
Listen to the word that God has spoken.
Listen to the voice that began creation.
The week before last, I was reading Psalm 19 from the lectionary. You'll see on your worship sheet that I've organized it for reading and listening into three sections. So let's listen to it read by Kevin and Janice and Laura, And I invite you as a congregation to join in the lines marked people in the second section of the psalm.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect,
reviving the soul.
The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy,
making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right,
giving joy to the heart.
The commands of the Lord are radiant,
giving light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure,
enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are sure,
and altogether righteous.
They are more precious than gold,
than much fine gold.
They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you so much for that reading. I've come across this poem many times in the lectionary, and am always struck by the seeming contradiction in the first section. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The words and the voice belong to the skies, which the last time I checked are generally silent. So how can they have a voice? This always blows open my narrow perception of words confined to the printed page or spoken by a human voice. Look at the night sky, pouring forth the speech of trillions of stars. Then a complete contrast in the next section, with its very regular sense of the Anglo-Saxon or Old English line in two parts, which is why I lined it out for leader and people. We can talk about this more in the discussion if you like, but that predictable pattern speaks to me of God's steadfastness and uprightness. The last section is a prayer. Instead of talking about God, there is a brief address to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Note the entwined nature of the words of the mouth with the meditation of the heart. In other words, you can't have one without the other in the sight of the Lord. Honest words are required, words spoken in cooperation with the inner spirit. How often have I broken the bond between mouth and heart, using words to cover up my true thoughts and feelings? There's a song about the way God speaks in our hymnal of worship book number 594, or Voices Together 537. I invite you to sing verses 1-4 only of Lord, You Sometimes Speak. Last verse of that wonderful song later. So up until now, I've tried to give a look at words and the words of scripture from my writer's perspective. I'm now going to pivot to part two of my talk, Sacred Word. So a common assumption in our society is that words are an outward expression of the meditations of our hearts, our thinking, our emotions, and ideas of who we are. But it can also go the other way around. The words that we use shape our thoughts and our behavior. This is one of the key concepts in a BioLogos podcast I listened to recently. BioLogos, or Language of God, is a forum that explores the connections between faith and science. My husband, Bevan, who my kids and I can testify to the fact that Bevan is a hardcore fan of BioLogos. So he recommended a while ago that I listen to this podcast called Reimagining Sacred Conversation. And the guest, a writer named Jonathan Merritt, was speaking about his book called Learning to Speak God from Scratch. One of the things Jonathan said is that the language we speak influences our brains. To quote Jonathan from the podcast, beginning of quote, "The things that we talk about, we think about. And the things we think about affect the ways that we behave. The language that we speak, the language that we hear, the language that we're steeped in, shapes us in ways that we're only now beginning to realize. End of quote. So, for an example, he used the idea that we don't live in a gracious culture anymore. And he's saying, yeah, no wonder we're not talking about grace anymore. The word grace has fallen in use by over 50% in the last 100 years. One place that the podcast took me is this idea that I alluded to earlier when I said words are like people, living beings with roots and the capacity to grow and change and influence, and I would say even transform. Word, not only a tiny printed thing the size of a very small insect on a dictionary page, but a powerful life force. Maybe even the living word with a capital W. I invite you to listen to Frida. I believe Frida is the person reading the scripture, reading today's second scripture passage. And thanks to Laura for the beautiful calligraphy on our worship sheet. I was telling her earlier, it reminds me of a stained glass window, a snail, or the scroll of a stringed instrument. So thank you so much to Laura for that wonderful calligraphy.
Okay, I need to read.
I did.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you so much for that reading. We have a song with a text by Brian Wren and music by Phil Clemens that I think stretches and deepens this concept of word as a living being, of word encompassing not only the noun, the historical person at the center of the Christian faith, but verb and adjective and all parts of speech. I invite you to turn to Hymnal of Worship Book 233, or Voices Together 281, to sing this. And thanks to the Zion Mennonite Church, wherever you are, for the YouTube recording that we have of this song.
Joyful is the dawn, holy hidden God, rolling cloud of night beyond all.
Infant, cry of need and bless.
Thank you. I'm so glad that the writer of John, all the way until chapter 1, verses 17, and Brian Wren with this hymn text based in part on the John verse, did not use the word Jesus. To help explain why, here's a bit of an experiment, perhaps to discuss later. When I say Jesus, what images or words come to your mind? For me, a dominant image is, sadly, a static one. That of a white man in a white robe with a brown beard from a long time ago. I hope I don't cause offense when I say with complete honesty that it is a word that can make me cringe. A name used by humans through the centuries to cause unspeakable hurt. A word I would not say in the presence of many people, colleagues, friends, family I love and respect and admire, for fear that they will label me with this very narrow perception of it. But look again at our scripture passage and the words of the hymn. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Rolling cloud of night beyond all naming. Energy of love, winging wildly o'er the world's creation, roaring, looming thundercloud. Deep in the heart of our faith, can we open our minds and our hearts to receive a holy renewal of the word Jesus to a living word, gifting us with possibility. And the podcast I refer to also talks about faith as possibility, which I had never quite heard about in that way before. Maybe it's a bit like the times when I write and I just have this feeling of delight I have in a blank page before me saying anything, anywhere you want to go. This living word topples all of my carefully built defenses like a house of cards. My sonnets, labored over for months and years, my pride, my bungled relationships, my workaholic tendencies, my thirst for more, 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 all of it stripped by this living word to a blank slate of possibility. Lord, you always speak in Jesus. Always new, yet still the same. Teach us now more of our Savior. Make our lives play his name. O Lord, you always speak in Jesus. So I invite you to sing verse 5 of the song we sang earlier. Similar worship of 594, voices together 537, as we say, followed by all the verses of voices together number 721, Christ be in your center. Christ be in your senses, 721. Christ be in your senses.
Christ be in your senses, marked with sacred sign. In the incarnation, flesh became divine.
Thank you. That stripping away I described is possibility, but also vulnerability, a place of tenderness. That brings me to the song Lofty Words by Brian Moyer Zuderman, based on 1 Corinthians 2:1-10. From the first time I heard these words, driving, but not realizing that it was a song in the voice of Paul, they've held for me a rare power. Often I'll be driving, listening alone, with tears streaming down my face. I realize it's the vulnerability that gets me every time. Fear and trembling in my bones. The great church leader, Saint Paul, standing on a doorstep and shaking like a leaf. The inclusive Bible version of the scripture passage is included on your worship sheet, but I invite you to follow along with words of the song also on your worship sheet as we listen to a recording of Brian singing it. And thanks to Brian for graciously allowing us to use it.
When I came to you, my sisters, I did not come with lofty words. When I came to you, my brothers, wisdom was not what you heard. I come to you in weakness, fear and trembling in my bones. Words not likely to impress you, maybe not quite what you'd hold. I have decided that I know nothing, nothing but Jesus and Jesus crucified. What kind of wisdom is this, you may ask me? How is the power of God revealed in one who died? There is power revealed in weakness. There is spirit in this mess. This is far from human wisdom. It's the power of God, I guess. This is not how rulers function. Cannot even comprehend. If they did, they never would have crucified the one God sent. But now we know, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart can even imagine just what our God has prepared. Receive the Spirit so that we might understand gifts that have been given to us, given us from God's own hand. Fear and trembling in my bones. Words words not likely to impress you. Maybe not quite what you'd hoped.
There in the third stanza, we have the name Jesus. But it comes after a startling line break. I have decided that I know nothing. There in that line break topple all my defenses, as I described earlier. Nothing but Jesus and Jesus crucified, power of the word, in the weakest physical state possible. And sure enough, further on, there is power revealed in weakness. There is spirit in this mess. How many times has that line come to me over the past few years? Yes, there is spirit in this wildfire wasteland, of the burnt town of Lytton. There is spirit in this looming prospect of the Earth's destruction from climate change. There is spirit in this COVID mess and in the mess of the legacy of the residential schools. Moving on the heels of that, to reach back centuries to the words of Isaiah and to bring out this jewel of a prophecy. But now we know, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart can even imagine just what our God has prepared. And at the end of the song, to move back to the weakness that began it all. Maybe not quite what you'd hoped. The living word hanging on a cross, which of course is the word at the very heart of our hope in God.